You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. In gathering, in the morning, in the church, in the quiet, in the noise, in the heat, in thought, in the spirit, in nervous anticipation, in steady calm, in the beginning, in the end, in the middle of the journey, in gratitude, in hope, in love, in faith, in unison, in gathering. Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Church of South Australia and to this annual in-gathering service, where once a year we recommit to connecting with each other and with the sacred and bearing each other up as a community as we embark on the new year ahead. My name is Rob McPherson, the minister of this church, and I would acknowledge the traditional owners of this land we undertake our spiritual practice upon, traditional owners whose customs and culture continue to nurture this land, and we pay due respect to the presence of these ancestors who live in the imagination of these hills and plains and whose spirituality flows through it all like living water. For our Unitarian Church, likewise and in its own way, also calls us to spiritual community by freeing each of us to find and fashion and follow our own spiritual path, any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all. During every opening hymn, the young Unitarians take it upon themselves to push around this offering basket to collect non-perishable food items for the Moore Street Mission. This is a ritual, a routine. With every step around the room, Sunday after Sunday, it reminds them and it reminds us that we come together as a church for more than our own feel-good purposes. Today, though, I want to give the young'uns permission to be a little more self-focused and to think about facing that thing that is looming on the horizon of their carefree holiday that's ending, the beginning of the new school year. Whether that schooling is going to happen in some ivy-covered mansion named after a saint or a settler, or indeed in a transportable in a field, or indeed at home, that is coming this week with all its yet unknown challenges, opportunities, joys, fears, and changes. And we want these young people to know, we want them to know that we grown-ups have been there too. And we remember what that feels like. We had the same nervous anticipation, the same excitement, the same not knowing. But we want you children to know this. We believe in you. We stand by you. And we want to encourage you to do your best, learn heaps, and find joy in it. And that we will provide every Sunday a loving ground of this blessed community where you can feel safe and valued, and where you may grow strong, wise, loving, and capable, even on the weekends. In asking you to bring your book bags today for a special blessing, you might be wondering how a blessing works. Well, we're not performing some sort of magic trick, wielding an invisible force on them like a Harry Potter spell, or like Wi-Fi. No. We all just want to send you on your way forward with as much joy and confidence as we would like for you. Now, don't worry if you forgot your book bag. This blessing even works on book bags that aren't even here. I'll ask you now to bring your book bags, real or imagined, up and stand with them and me on our altar facing the congregation. So would you come up, please? Okay, we all met. Now, adults in the room, who remembers what a new school year felt like? If you do, stand and say one word or phrase of encouragement to our children. Now remember, brevity is the soul of wit. To make this orderly, if you want to share a word of encouragement, raise your hand and I'll call on you just like school.
Exciting. Questioning.
It's going to be fun. Have fun.
Invite everyone to play.
Explore.
Is that it?
Be open to try new things.
Be open to try new things.
Don't be afraid of making mistakes. They can be fun too.
In fact, that's the best fun.
Get dirty.
I wish I had a community of adults around me when I was that age, giving me this sort of encouragement. It was, keep your head down, don't get in trouble, do your work. Well, let's find a moment of quiet inside ourselves to hear the words of this blessing written by Karen Johnston. Would you, adults in the room, please stand as you're able? Children, we want you to know that even when you are away from this church, may you carry the heart of our Unitarian Church with you wherever you go. May you feel curiosity all your days. May your imagination catch fire. May you find courage when it is necessary. May moments of confusion lead to better questions. May you feel compassion toward those around you and they towards you. May you feel heard and seen. And may you hear and see others. May you speak up for those who are not heard or who are not seen. As your spirit's home, this church is made stronger when you share what you learn. And so we ask you to bring back what you learn about the world back to this place and tell us about it. So children, if you agree to do that, say we will.
We will.
I can't hear you.
We will.
Sorry, what was that?
Okay.
I declare these book bags blessed with and blessed by all of the love and good wishes of this church. Adults, you may now be seated. We don't go yet, kiddos. We have a small gift for you. A book for each of you with the sum total of your ages in it, because if you'd show us, David, it's a blank journal, ready for you to write, draw, doodle, or dream in it, whatever you decide. You get to work out and make the meaning your lives will have. Don't let any teacher, any parent, or any minister tell you any different. You are free to make your life what you want. Now, you all know how to give a high five, don't you? Sing you out to Sunday Club. And as we do, I'd like you to take your book bag and walk down our aisles and out, get your book, and get as many high fives from the grown-ups as you can. Now be gentle, because some of these folks, and I include myself in this, are a little delicate, so. And we're going to sing them out. One more step along the world I go. Stand as you're able. And so, as a church community, we collectively wade into the unknown and unknowable waters of the new year. This morning, we carry love and hope and courageous faith and seek to renew our covenant, our commitments to our church, to each other, and to the world. We remind ourselves of this home we share, this church home that we come back to, whether after a long or a short absence, a home we welcome all to make their own, a home of love and hope and faith. And so we gather ritually this morning, carrying gifts of our summer, symbols of the water that we have been present with and which has been present to us. These symbols may call to mind light summer showers, thunderstorms, dewy mornings, misty evenings, or moments at oceansides, poolsides, riversides, lakesides, whether swimming, gardening, fishing, hiking, or strolling. They may remind us who we were with while we were there, even if we were alone. Perhaps we found ourselves in the presence of water during a moment of grief, or birth, or rebirth, or perhaps in an everyday place whose sacredness to us is real nevertheless. Let us reflect on what we brought with us in those moments and places, what spiritual, emotional, or other baggage we carried, and what we did with that baggage while we were in these waterborne places and moments. Take a moment and recollect. Perhaps the water's steadfastness inspired you. Perhaps its serenity. Perhaps its waxing and waning tides, the music of its flowing motion, or the silence of its sleep. Did you feel in its presence that interdependent web of all life coming alive in those moments? Some of you may have had the gift of a moment's epiphany. Some of you may have had a nourishing stillness. Others of you may have had a growing awareness of how this very water is like the web of life, and how that web, that connectedness, is in us and in everything. Let us rest in that awareness in a moment of silence. In your inner silence now, I would ask you to find one word that captures the meaning your waterborne time this summer carries for you. One word. We do not do this just for time efficiency, but to lift this ritual to true worth, to lift this ritual beyond the trivia of what I did on my summer holidays, and to lift it beyond the cheap blessing of class privileges of travel and leisure. One word to find in our deepest selves the meaning of this mundane yet life-giving substance. To find, dare I say it, the holy in this water. I will begin. Cleansing. And now, row by row, please come forward and add your water that you've carried with you and speak the word of meaning into the microphone.
Renewal. Immersion.
Drive.
Recycling.
Life.
Life.
Nurture.
Kindness.
Comfort.
Refresh.
Everything.
Freedom.
Peace.
Faith.
Faith.
Birth.
Sustenance.
Oneness.
Comfort.
Thirst.
Life.
Essential.
The present and the future.
Health. And this is for Vicky, sustaining.
Community.
Life.
Hope.
Gratitude.
Love.
Connection.
Perseverance.
Tranquility.
Rejuvenate.
Restoring.
Survive.
Gratefulness.
Spirit quenching.
Reconnection.
Connection.
Power.
Moods.
Completeness.
Togetherness.
Beauty. Wonder.
Nature.
Hope.
Together.
Love.
Please find a moment of stillness in you and silence. And this is the blessing of the waters. Guided by love, secured by hope, made courageous by our Unitarian way, we gather together at a moment of beginning, both learning and teaching, welcoming the injured and the healing. Ever seeking justice, we bless this church with our love. With pilgrims and seekers, growing children and cherished seniors, guided by pillars and by leaders, we bless this church with our hope. Praying and resolving, trusting and involving, some of us settled, some of us evolving, we bless this church with our faith. Let us receive our ingathering today as a gift. May it inspire renewed commitment to our great covenant of love, hope, and faith. May our eyes be open to opportunities for broad ministry within, throughout, and beyond this church. And may the blessings we come to know through that vision be a blessing to all the world. May our gathering together this morning be a blessing for one and all. May it inspire us to a year of hope and of love and of courageous faith. And may we walk that year in the full awareness, as often as possible, of the blessed ties that bind us each to each and to all that is. Amen.
If I were called in to construct a religion, I should make use of water. Going to church would entail affording to dry different clothes. My liturgy would employ images of sousing, a furious, devout drench. And I should raise in the east a glass of water where any angled light would congregate endlessly.
If you've been coming here a while, you'd be aware that every annual ingathering service, I try to share with you something new and fascinating about this most unique and mysterious of substances, water. Something that validates humanity's persistent use of it as a potent and resonant religious symbol. And there is no dearth of fascinating material about water. As a material substance, it is like nothing else in the entire universe. When we think of the many guises it can take, gaseous, solid, liquid. Think of its inexorable power as a cleansing solvent that can break down everything in time. Think of its ability to create the diversity of life by catalyzing new combinations at the molecular level. Its majesty is like that of the old gods, both capable of creating and destroying. Think of its indispensability to life as we understand life. The search for extraterrestrial intelligence has abandoned looking at worlds where liquid water is not present. There's no point. There won't be life there. Think of water's crucial role in forming flourishing human societies where water is fresh and abundant. Think of the way it connects all life on this lovely blue-green planet. Now, over the years, I thought I had wrung this topic absolutely dry, that I'd emptied this nerdy cabinet of wonders and had nothing new to share with you. Then, in my reading on the subject, I came across this emerging field of study. Rather than summarize the book, as many preachers are wont to do, I found a helpful and brief video précis on this new research.
To what extent is water capable of picking up information? What does it perceive? And how does it remember it over time?
The Aerospace Institute in Stuttgart has discovered a relatively simple way of making the structure of a drop of water visible. The researchers have had their efforts rewarded by insights into a very beautiful world. Each drop has a face of its own, unmistakable and unique. Why are the individual drops so different from one another? We got a lot of people to come to a lecture hall here at the Institute, gave them all the same water, had them make drops at exactly the same time, collected all the drops, and then discovered that each individual produced different images from the same water. And here you can see the results. Here on the right you can see that the images of the individual students are different, but those made by a given student are all quite similar. This is the work of the first experimenter, this one here from the second, this from the third, and this from the fourth. Individually, they can quite easily be reproduced, but you would never have thought that they were all from the same water, because when you compare the images from the different people, you see some big differences. Then we undertook experiments to find out whether things changed when we put something into the water. A real flower was placed in the water. A while later, we took a drop of water, and here you can see one of the pictures. And you can see it in this picture. It's the typical image you get when you put a flower into water. You could recognize the flower in every single drop in this glass, of course. That can be reproduced and has significance. And if you were to put a different flower in here, for example, a Sweet William flower, then all the drops of this water would look like Sweet William. The statement that water has a memory practically changes our whole way of looking at the world, of course. Let's travel down the Rhine in the figurative sense. The water is flowing down the Rhine, picking up information everywhere it goes. So the water has more information at the mouth of the Rhine than it had at the source. And the Dutch, living at the mouth, when they drink that water, they're also drinking all that information. Thus, the world's oceans would no longer be something that separates us, but instead a giant storehouse of information, and the rain would perhaps be a data medium carrying information to the world.
That emerging field of study raises so many possibilities. Absolutely blew my mind. It raises so many questions that science, as it's currently understood, is not really equipped to answer, at least not yet. So just to emphasize, every drop of water is unique. Every single drop of water, even when it's drawn from the same source, that's important to keep in mind, is unique. It's unique because it carries information unique to it. That's kind of cool. This is cooler. More than that, water is affected even by things that do not come into physical contact with it, namely those who observe it. Now, the researchers didn't touch the water. They simply drew it under carefully controlled lab conditions. And each drop of water remembers the researcher, so that the drops by researcher one bear a certain similarity, which is different from researcher two. Each drop of water remembers the researcher, but still retains its uniqueness, but that uniqueness gets inflected by each specific human presence in ways that are not evident and cannot be observed. So water seems to transfer information between organisms invisibly. Water notes and remembers the external influences that have acted upon it. So water is less a what than a how. It's a medium, a kind of bridging state connecting the material and the immaterial, connecting the visible and the invisible. When we consume the water that replenishes us, we are actually consuming history. Everything that water has come into contact with or been influenced by, and remember, there is no new water on earth. And no water can really be lost much from the earth. It's a closed system. All that ever was is still here. So to imbibe or to touch or to come into proximity to a single drop is to partake all of the planet's history. You may remember that we are 80% water. We are fundamentally liquid beings, made of matter, history, and mystery, kind of sentient cucumbers, laboring under an erotic illusion of separateness. Through and by the water that makes us, we are deeply interconnected with each other and with the universe. Each of us, like water drops, is thus unique, and that very uniqueness is what we all share in common. One species, one planet, one oneness, and it's all alive. It's all living. You want to see the sacred in the ordinary? Look no further. So water, I claim, is itself holy, even without being blessed. Holy, which comes from the root word whole. Hail, health, completeness. Like rivers to the sea, our coming together in communion, in gathering, offers again to make us whole. This water, like all water, is already holy and blessed. Not because I've blessed it or we've blessed it. And more than have me bless it, I wanted to find a way to bless you with it. Does anyone know what this is called? There's a name for it. It's an aspergillum. Yes, you want me on your trivia team. You know what it's for? Sprinkling holy water over a wide area of people. Now, in true Unitarian fashion, I've mugged one up out of humble domestic items. Plant pot and a basting brush. As it's hot, I hope you will not mind if I resurrect a little ritual water blessing from my Catholic youth and bless you all with this holy essence.
Think of every drop as unique in coming to you and will be uniquely changed by you forever simply by coming into contact with you. We don't need God when we have nature.
If you had hearing aids, I hope you covered them. You've heard it said that you are not a drop in the ocean. You are the ocean in a drop. This new science I've glossed today seems to support that, not as some pretty sentiment, but as hard physical reality. In blending together the water we have brought today, each with its own unique quality, that water will be remembering us who brought it. We're going to take our collective histories here and spill them upon our church garden, the better to make it grow. Grow by each of our precious uniquenesses and blending together as a community. As the poet said, if we were called in to construct a new religion, and what else have Unitarians been doing for the last 100 years? We would do well to make use of water, for in its mystery and its deep interconnectivity of the seen and the unseen, it perfectly encapsulates what religion truly means. Not a set of hard and fast dogmas, but a collective and fluid exchange with life and living itself. All water embodies and contains the whole, the holy. As we move through this seemingly endless summer into the darkening and hopefully cooling new year, may this ingathering and this blessing continue to bless us. Amen. Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.